The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Happy Friday, everyone, and thank you for joining us here once again on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, and it's another beautiful Friday here in the Village of Warwick. I did my drive into the village, and of course, I had to stop at the local cafe, Cafe a la Mode, and there were 1,000 people outside. They were all like children. They're all over the place. School is officially out. And it's so much activity going down in the Village of Warwick. I welcome you that if you have not come down here to check it out, it is such a fun place to visit. Today, I know you guys love it when I have Crystal Run Healthcare doctors. And so this is very exciting because I have two doctors sitting in the studio with me today. And but stay connected because I think for next month, I have another doctor. But I think in August, I'm going to have like two sets of doctors for two different Fridays. So I'm going to keep them coming, you guys, because I know you like when we get Crystal Run Healthcare in here talking to the doctors. I want to remind you that we are live. So if you have a question, you can give us a call at 845-651-1110. And always remember that you can listen to us worldwide at WTBQ.com. So today, it is my honor to have Lisa Batson and Nicholas Batson. They're both psychiatrists. You're both psychiatrists?
That's right, yep. Yeah.
So you guys diagnose each other?
We do all the time.
And our poor three-year-old child.
And no one can see because we're in the studio, but Lisa's got the most beautiful little baby bump going on. And she says she's almost due. That's what I look like when I was 1 month pregnant. I'm just letting you know. So, but we're going to be covering anxiety disorders. Some of the talking points that Kristen Palladino sent me, she said a panic disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and probably try to spend time on prevalent symptoms and treatment. But really, I want it to kind of flow the way you guys want it to flow. These topics, everybody is always, Googling or WebMDing themselves, and they self-diagnose themselves. And next thing you know, they're like depressed out of their minds because right. They think they have a disorder.
Right.
So I think it's great to be able to kind of identify them and give, general information. I want to remind everyone that this is just informational. If you feel that you need to seek further attention, you should seek your own doctor for more advice. In the meantime, if you do have a question, feel free to call in. But remember, again, this is general information, so don't take this like we're diagnosing you right. Over the radio.
Don't let us lead your Google search.
So I don't know who wants to start first. Ladies first. Lisa, do you want to talk about who you are, where you've been, how long you've been with Crystal Run Health?
Sure. I am actually from the area, but then Nick and I met in medical school the first day, and we've been together ever since.
So love at first sight.
Yeah,
we've done everything. Together. Residency, fellowship, Crystal Runs, all the way through.
Yeah, so we're both adult and child boarded. So we did our fellowship in Kentucky, where Nick is originally from, and we did our residency in Wake Forest, North Carolina. So we've kind of traveled all over the place and then ended up back at Crystal Run.
We've shared the same office for years, and we sit back to back, but it's kind of strange. We've just been doing the same thing. We wouldn't know it any other way.
And I think everybody that I see is like, "What? How does that even work?
Yeah, how could you work
but
with
I guess
each other
we were in the anatomy lab
day.
Every day. We were like, so I guess being apart, it would be like anxiety provoking. Like, we wouldn't know what to do.
But here's the other thing. Like, a lot of times, and I don't do this, FYI, but sometimes you tell your significant other, I was so swamped today, I couldn't blah, blah, blah. And, because maybe you really weren't. You were having coffee. But you guys can't do that. You can't say, I was totally swamped.
No, yeah.
I was totally swamped today. What? I was right there with you.
Yeah. The worst day ever. I need a massage.
So how long have you guys been practicing?
So we've been with Crystal Run 5 years.
Okay.
And then our department has expanded over the last 5 years. We have a couple other psychiatrists, a couple other therapists. We're kind of all over Orange County, Sullivan County, Rockland County. So we're expanding in the area. Mm-hmm. Part of the good thing about being at Crystal Run is we've really kind of done that integrated care approach where it's behavioral health and physical health really meeting both the needs at the same time. That's been part of the good thing that we've liked and being able to really kind of bring to Crystal Run, and Crystal Run's been able to bring to the community is that service.
Okay, so before we get down to the nitty-gritty of what you guys do with Crystal Run Healthcare, I always like to ask the doctors, and this is something that Taylor has really kind of got me doing, because it is kind of fun. Did you know you always wanted to be a psychiatrist? Or what did you want to be when you were growing up? Did you say, I want to be a doctor?
Well, no.
No.
So, so I wanted to be a teacher, an elementary education teacher. So all my life I played school. Actually my first year of college was for elementary education. And then I went to get a wart removed. And I was like, I want to be a doctor. That's awesome. So I
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So then I was driving home from Middletown, from Crystal Run, with my mom. And I was like, you know what? I'm changing my major. I'm going to be a doctor. And she's like, I was kind of a go-getter always. So she's like, okay, all right, sure, I trust that. So then I switched schools and went on my path. And I was actually going to be a dermatologist, hence the wart removal.
The wart removal, because you thought that was so intriguing.
Right, I thought it was the coolest thing. but then, like, as I got into rotations, I just felt like, yeah, dermatology was cool, and I still liked it. But then once I got into psychiatry, I just felt like it was just more connecting with people. And you could really kind of see that tangible difference that you're making in people's lives, aside from like a wart removal, which is still very important, you know, but I just felt like I felt like it was my calling. You know, I just felt like really connected with people. And I felt at the end of the day that I helped, you know, which was really special. And being able to kind of work with kids and adults, and, you know, it was something that I just felt like fit, you know, for me. So
that's awesome. Cause I got to tell you, I watch these kinds of things on Instagram and I go, oh no, why, how, why do people, and why is there a total page on this?
Right.
You know? So did you, Nicholas, did you know that, you wanted to be a doctor?
Yeah, I kind of always wanted to be a doctor. It was just something in my family. You just help people, you do things and just make people happy and feel better. And it's just, a doctor's cool. It's science, it's medicine, it's interacting with others. Lisa and I had this plan that I was going to be a plastic surgeon. She was going to be a dermatologist. We were going to have this fancy practice. And we kind of had the same revelation as we kind of went through our rotations. It was more about talking to people, building those relationships, kind of getting engaged in someone's story. I think part of kind of what psychiatry is, in a way, it's kind of like TV without the commercials. Like, mm-hmm. You really get to hear about somebody's life and all the changes that they make. And you really get to be involved in that and help them kind of figure out what to go. Lisa kind of always has a good saying, you know, when you get to be that kind of go-to person, if they need something, you can be there to support them and help them figure it out and go through. So
I think at the end of the day, you have to do what's natural. You know, I think that if you're forcing yourself into something that just seems interesting versus like what it feels good doing, you know, and I think that's kind of what it was. It was just, and I remember even having that conversation, like we just felt like, okay, this is, you know, and plus we had some really good mentors and everything that were, you know, doing their thing and enjoying life and loving what they're doing. And we're like, this is good vibe, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we kept kind of, then we obviously have to do every rotation possible, deliver babies and everything. And you kind of realize what you don't want to be doing and what you do want to be doing. And we kept going back to psychiatry. So, and I don't think that we look back and regret it at all.
Oh,
I think
it's
great.
It's
great. And I, you know, to your point, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I know what you mean when it comes to people telling you their story. Mm-hmm. You get to actually listen and you learn more about them. And there's something amazing about what you learn about different people. Mm-hmm. And it really gives you a different perspective in life. You know, you start appreciating yourself more, the people around mm-hmm. you more. And if you can assist in any way, it's a reality when you do assist, because you can see the difference that you have, you know, invoked in someone. So mm-hmm. I can kind of relate to you guys,
right.
But I don't have the doctorate to go with it.
Right. But it's a relatable profession, because everybody wants to help everybody for the most part. And everyone provides support in some way, shape or form, even though they don't realize it, even dogs.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a relatable profession in that way. And then you just put the MD by it and, you know, then you're good.
Well, full disclosure, I did go to Marist College for psychiatry and communications. I just leaned towards the communications part of it because I was like, oh, God, psychiatrists is so hard. But, you know, I think that's wonderful. And the fact that you guys work together and that you went through the entire process together. So I'm sure that you can, like, bounce ideas off of each other and just kind of decompress together. Because I know that's also a very big part of doing what you do, being able to decompress mm-hmm. to someone that you do trust.
Yeah. It's kind of self-management, you know, it's burnout. You know, we try to avoid burnout, those kind of things. Part of the one thing I think we do at home, we don't really talk about work much. We kind of just like to leave work at work and home at home. We have our home life. We have our home environment. And like we were just saying, we have a 3-year-old. So when you come home, you end up being a parent. And that's the first thing you do is running around chasing somebody.
There's no time to think about anything else.
There's no time to think about what happened at work today.
So your 3-year-old, male, female?
He's a little boy.
He's a little boy. Do you want to say hi to him? I don't know if he's listening or you're going to have somebody to give you a recording.
Hi, Maxwell.
Hey, buddy.
He would think it was the coolest thing ever if he could listen.
Yeah. Well, we're going to give you a copy of the recording so you can always just, you know, have him listen to it. We're going to take a little break. When we get back, we're going to get into this disorders because I know people are waiting. You're listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Having difficulty sleeping with a dip in the bed is the reason so many people shop Millspaugh Furniture to switch to two-sided Schiffman mattresses, and we accommodate them once we determine that they're not talking about their spouse, but a sag in the mattress. Hi, this is Keith Millspaugh of Millspaugh Furniture of Walden, Poughkeepsie, and Warwick. For a limited time, we reduced pricing on all Schiffman mattress sets in one-of-a-kind covers so you can get our two-sided, no-dip quality story for less while supplies last during our lowest price of the year sales event. Invest a dollar or two a day in two-sided, handmade, flippable Schiffman mattress sets, then you'll actually be cradled in comfort and support for years to come, and you'll finally get rid of that dip you've been sharing your bed with. Since two-sided mattresses are almost impossible to find anywhere else, you'll only enjoy this sleep experience from Millspaugh Furniture of Walden, Poughkeepsie, and Warwick. Sturdy, elegant, comfortable, timeless. That's Millspaugh Furniture, offering non-disposable furniture and mattresses since 1858. Hurry in to Millspaugh Furniture to improve your sleep for less at our lowest price of the year mattress sale event.
The Computer Guy services all your computer needs for both business and home office. The Computer Guy custom builds computers to suit your needs. They will diagnose, repair, and upgrade as needed. Kevin, his family, and crew will make your computer nightmares disappear. The Computer Guy, now at two locations, 14 West Street in Warwick and 22 Meadow Road in Florida. Call 877-889-8055 or visit thecomputerguy.pro.
Access Supports for Living has a mission: to help people live the healthiest and fullest lives possible. For over 50 years, the Hudson Valley has turned to Access to support our neighbors and friends with intellectual and developmental disabilities and mental health needs. Access also helps families with challenges to make sure kids have the best start at a bright future. Access offers services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more, visit accesssupports.org. That's accesssupports.org.
If you missed the Frank Truett Show, here's what you missed.
I wonder if our Orange County executive, Steve Newhouse, knows about that interview we did this morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I always say, ask yourself, are you better off now than you were, you know, in 2013?
So, absolutely. You know, that's the question everybody should be, is their litmus test. Or the other thing I used to say is, would you hire this person to work for you?
Oh, that's a good one.
Steve, you want to do sales for us? We got a job open right there, actually.
The Frank Truett Show, weekday mornings till 9 on WTBQ.
WTBQ. And we're back, everybody. Thank you for staying with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, and I've been hanging out with Drs. Lisa Batson and Nicholas Batson. They are psychiatrists for Crystal Run Healthcare. And before we went on break, we mentioned the things that we're going to cover, specifically panic disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorders, hopefully go into some prevalent symptoms and treatment. So if you're just joining us, you haven't missed anything really. We were talking a little background because I like to pick doctors' brains and see where they were planning to be before they became, you know, superheroes and became doctors. So we are live. So if you want to ask the doctors a question or myself, 845-651-1110, and you can listen to us anywhere at WTBQ.com. So these disorders, we listed three of them. I don't know how you guys want to kind of juggle these or tackle them, but I'm going to follow your lead, Dr. Yeah. Batson. You tell me what you think you really want to put out there.
Okay. Yeah, anxiety disorders are the most common psychiatric diagnosis. There's a lot of different kinds of anxiety disorders, but we figured we'd probably hit the high ones and that most people have heard of or even experienced in their lives. So that's kind of the reason why we thought we'd touch base on some of those. You know, the next question a lot of people ask are like, what are anxiety disorders? Like, where do they come from? Because it seems to be so prevalent. There's some numbers that say about 18% of the U.S. population is experiencing like active anxiety symptoms right now. So, you know, that's 44 million people out there that are kind of experiencing that. The unfortunate part about that is only about a third of those patients are actually receiving any kind of treatment. So there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot we can do as professionals and medical professionals to make sure that we're treating that. And part of what we hope to do is maybe gain some insight into what anxiety disorders are, maybe what some of those symptoms are. When we think about anxiety disorders, one of the models that we use is called the biopsychosocial model. So if you break that down into the three words, the biological part, anxiety can have a genetic component to it. So when you talk to patients, oftentimes you'll find out like, my mom was so anxious all the time, or my brother was just this anxious guy. And we just see that it runs in families. And so we can, we see that and we help that understand maybe how that was experienced by that patient before. The other thing is just temperament and personality. Some people are just kind of wired to be anxious people. They'll say, I'm kind of a neurotic person, or I'm that type A, kind of always uptight, kind of driven kind of person. And so we see that as well. The other part is the psychological part of it. And so some people are, I guess, kind of glass half full, glass empty kind of people. And so if their kind of automatic thoughts or the way that they automatically think about something gravitates more towards that anxiety kind of situation, then that's part of that biopsychosocial model. We call it kind of the cognitive beliefs or cognitive distortion. Sometimes it's almost like a catastrophizing, like, oh, the sky's falling. Was it the Chicken Little? Everything's a crisis. Everything's bad. We always kind of, there's always something, you know, got to go around every corner and not step on the cracks because it'll break my mom's back, all that, kind of stuff, just to kind of help people think about it. One big thing, it's you kind of just overestimate threat in a way. You know, we just kind of blow it up. It's bigger than what it really is. The next is the social environment. So kind of where we live. And social environment, sometimes it's a little hard to understand, but it's almost the idea of kind of modeling. Like, what do the people do around us? Mm-hmm. I always think of like firefighters and like Navy SEALs, you know, when they're in a, what most of us would consider like a very stressful, anxious situation, they're just calm and cool and collected. Their brain is clear. They problem solve and they move forward. Versus some of us, we get in certain social situations and everybody's the three alarm fire. Let's just kind of crazy kind of feeling. And so we use modeling as a way sometimes to understand how people perceive what is appropriate for their anxiety, like how they should actually be expressing or experiencing their anxiety.
And so I think that, just to add on to the modeling is, you know, just both of us do child as well. And, you know, so you have a kid maybe in daycare or under the care of your parents that might be a little anxious, you know, and so you kind of think of this kid in an environment that has like, you know, his brain is forming all these connections and they're parenting him in a really anxious way of, oh, don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Or, you know, make sure you hold 20 million hands before you cross the road. So then that starts getting ingrained in the kid. And then developmentally, as you move forward into their temperament. So they might become later on kind of an anxious adult, you know, because they've just been kind of so on guard, you know, about everything, and everything's a threat. So I think that goes along towards like the modeling.
Have you guys added to that now the kind of the fear of missing out with social media now? I mean, do you find that a lot of people now because of social media either feel more depression, more anxious, more like they're not connected or they're not living the magical life world that they see out in social media? So more people are more apt to have anxiety?
Absolutely. I think it goes with anything in life, there's positive and negatives. I think negatively, yes. You know, and I think people do this like kind of what I like to call like compare and despair, you know, so they're kind of in their house. They're like, ho hum is me. Then they're looking, their friends are off the beach. They're hanging out. They're doing all these fun things. They're like being superstars. And then you kind of like get self-loathing. Like, what did I do wrong? I'm a failure. Or even more socially anxious. Like, I don't have those friends. Like, how do I even go about getting those friends? But then at the same time, I think for people that are a little bit lonely or loners, you know, that don't have a lot of people for whatever reason around them, it kind of provides a little bit of a social kind of network, people that are in like chat groups or even like gaming now, you know, which
living vicariously.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, even like following superstars or something. So it might not even be something that's like tangible and like something that's attainable, but you know, they still feel connected socially because of that. Or even self-help groups. You know, I have a lot of people that I see that are on Facebook with, you know, anxiety self-help groups or post-traumatic stress self-help groups. And that really, it's just at their fingertips. They don't have to leave their house to go and, you know, and kind of interact with people socially for that. So, so I think it does have its positives, but then also, of course, the
negatives.
Good
and bad. Yeah. It's always present. I think that's what with kids, you know, they're always on their phone. There's a tablet. Mm-hmm. There's a computer. I had a kid the other day came in the office, and they have to have so many consecutive tweets in a row, right? And so they were competing with their friends. If I'm on my 30th consecutive tweet, and they were about to lose it in the office because we were doing our regular appointment, and they were like on their phone on the side.
Interfering with their tweets.
Yeah, I'm interfering. I'm like, hey, if you need to like tweet, go ahead. Like, no big deal. It's calm down a little
bit. My doctor's so cool, totally.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Count that tweet.
So.
But too, I mean, just even along the lines of like news updates, you know, so many people, we have our phones on us all the time. So it's not like we're waiting to go home at 5 o'clock news and then shutting it off. You know, we're getting updates about things that are going on in the world. And a lot of times it's hard to set that boundary because it's with us all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, so I have a lot of people that struggle with that you still want to be in the know. But then how much in the know do you want to be 24/7? You know, that's going to create more angst. So
how do people identify, or how do people get to the point where they go, you know, I think I am experiencing anxiety, or I am, and it's more than usual. Right. How do they get to the point where they say, yeah, actually, I may need to talk to someone about this, mm-hmm. And not think that, and not push it to the side thinking, you know, oh, it's just social media or whatever. I mean, I guess there's got to get to a point where you're saying to yourself, I think I am experiencing something, and what are some of the symptoms that they should be looking out for?
I think, I mean, one thing it always goes back to with any kind of quote unquote disorder, you know, is kind of, where's the fine line? Like you said, where's the fine line between normalcy and disorder? And it's kind of when people are getting affected functionally, you know, so you look at kind of what you're doing on the day to day, whether it's your employment, whether it's your social interactions, whether it's your fun activities, you know, and if the anxiety is kind of intertwining in that, where it's limiting you from actually doing your job or limiting you from enjoying what you're supposed to be doing that you always love to do, that's when you start questioning, you know, because everyone has anxiety. Everyone has a little bit. And there's actually a performance curve that everyone needs a little bit of anxiety to perform. You mm-hmm. know, so if you were just kind of lackadaisical, not caring about anything, you would just be laying on the couch all day. Let's be honest. So, you know, I mean, there'd be no oomph, you know, so you have to have a little bit of like, oh, I better get this done. Or, you know, the kind of that fire under your buns,
yeah.
you know, to be able to kind of get moving. So, you know, we can't just say anxiety is bad because it is good in some respects, but it has to be manageable where it's not crossing that line of affecting you. Your functioning.
Okay, so it could be a positive driving force.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But when it starts messing with your being able to function in mm-hmm. life or around other people.
Disruptive.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. disruptive when it just takes
excessive.
Over.
Exactly.
Then that's when you should really start kind of think back to yourself, maybe I need to discuss this with someone. Mm-hmm. So in terms of prevalence, do you as doctors, and you guys have been doing this for 5 years, and there has been a huge shift in the way life is from, you know, especially with technology and everything and the information exchange. Do you find that the number has increased? Do you find that because we're always hustle, bustle, move, have to do things all the time, that there has been an increase in anxiety in society?
I think patients are more aware. I think people are just more aware of what the symptoms are, what they're looking for because of Google and Facebook, and people start to talk about their diagnosis. I went and saw a doctor and they told me I had panic disorder. They told me I had depression, and I didn't really know that that's what all these symptoms were, that it had a name, that it kind of falls under an umbrella. So I don't know necessarily if the numbers are going up per se.
I think it's the
it's
awareness.
It's more of the awareness okay. that individuals are just more aware of what's going on.
So let's break down each section here. What is the difference between a panic disorder, an anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as far as like generalized anxiety disorder, so a lot of people will think that they're generally anxious. You know, they think that, oh, I worry a little bit about this, I worry a little bit about that. But then again, it comes into that excessive mode. And generalized anxiety is typically seen more in females than males. So a lot of people aren't surprised about that because they just think that females are more worrywarts for whatever reason. But there are a lot of guys that worry too. But generalized anxiety particularly is in more females. And it's kind of like this, I'm worried about my job, I'm worried about my family, I'm worried. And it's just this constant, almost like if you're not worrying, you're uncomfortable because mm-hmm. it's like I have to be worrying about something. And then it's combined with a lot of physical symptoms. So people with generalized anxiety might have more muscle tension. They might feel more tired. They might feel like they can't concentrate. Their mind just absolutely goes blank. Sleeping difficulties, so they can't shut their minds off because everything that's they got to do the next day and what they did that day is just affecting them from unwinding at nighttime. So it's kind of that cognitive component, like what's on your mind, and then also that physical sensation of just that anxiety that you can't seem to get rid of more than not. And I think, once again, it's out of proportion. So things that, you know, I don't want to say normal, but normally wouldn't, you know, cat crossed the road, it was black. Okay, that could be bad luck. But the people that have that, and he's like, oh my gosh, well, what's going to happen? You know, so it's like a trigger.
There's
that,
a sign. Yeah.
There's a sign, exactly.
Where's the cat going? Does the cat have a place to live? Does
right.
he need some food?
I know. Right. So it kind of goes from one thing to another, to another, to another. And it's hard to just kind of like put the stop sign there and say, okay, it's not that bad. But that's kind of what you see.
Maybe
in the,
I just need coffee.
Exactly. Right. The cat will be okay, you know, but it takes time to step back. But it's that excessive right. worry constantly. And I think, you know, just seeing people in our practice, you know, it's always about teasing that out because people will say, oh, I'm just so anxious. And it's like, okay, let's talk about it. Let's okay. see, what are you anxious about? You know, is it really? And they'll kind of say, oh, I'm just anxious, but I'm okay, I guess. You know, but the people that are like got that generalized anxiety, you can just tell they have a different feel to them. And then there's different treatment, obviously, you know, whether you have the disorder versus not. Whereas panic is more
It's okay.
I'm getting a signal from Nick.
He's running the show here. So we're going to take a little break. We're going to go deeper into this because I know people are very anxious to know more about it. This is the Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Grace Warren, a licensed real estate agent for Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty for more than 17 years, and I'm ready to hear your wants and needs, and then I will help you fulfill your goals. As a full-time residential specialist and longtime resident of Orange County, I know the Orange County market very well, and whether you're a buyer or seller, my priority is your satisfaction. For more information, please visit my website, gracewarren.randrealty.com, and let's get together.
Did you know that the Warwick Valley Dispatch is one of the few independently owned and operated papers in the country, and that they've been run by the same family since 1885, and that every edition is printed at the Dispatch Building in Warwick? The Warwick Valley Dispatch is also the official newspaper of the Warwick Valley and Florida school districts, the town of Warwick, the villages of Warwick and Florida, the Warwick, Florida, and Pine Island Fire Districts, and the Albert Wisner Public Library. To advertise or subscribe to Warwick's hometown newspaper, call 986-2216 today. Shop local. Read the Warwick Valley Dispatch.
Come to the Goshen Historic Track for the Grand Circuit Races, taking place Friday through Monday, June 29th through July 2nd, for the Landmark Stakes, New York's Excelsior Series for both the Pacers and Trotters, and the New York County Fair Stakes. All post times are 1 p.m. Racing kickoff concert Friday, June 29th is from 6 to 11:30 p.m. with three live bands, including the Black Dirt Bandits. Gates open at 5:15. For more information, visit GoshenHistoricTrack.com.
NASCAR heads to Sonoma.
Blaney hard on the brakes. Chris Buescher right on his back bumper.
It's the Toyota Save Mart 350.
It's a dogfight for the top spot. Down to the S's. Now down the hill to turn number 9.
Kyle Busch now takes him 3 wide down the bottom of the hill.
Casey Kane has crashed hard in turn number 1. Harvick takes the checkered flag. He is now the winner.
Catch the excitement of the Toyota Save Mart 350. Sunday, June 24th at 2 p.m.
Brought to you every week by Vogel & Moore Insurance and Dawson Motors.
WTBQ weather.
This afternoon will be rather nice out there. A couple of increasing clouds later in the day. Highs in the mid to upper 70s. We'll have to watch for a shower approaching during the evening hours. Now, a couple of on and off showers tonight, 55 to 60. Then on Saturday, we'll have periods of showers and thunderstorms for the day. Highs only around 70 degrees. But it's a bit drier to start out on Sunday. Then an afternoon storm is possible in the low 80s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm Mike Mahalik.
WTBQ.
And we're back. Thank you for staying with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. I want to say happy Friday once again to everyone. If you're just signing on, I have Crystal Run Healthcare. You know, we host them once a month here on the show. They are a diamond partner for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And of course, you guys spoke to me and said, we really like it when you have the doctors on. So that's what we're doing every single month. We're treating you to a different type of diagnosis. And today we're talking to Dr. Lisa Batson and Nicholas Batson. They are psychiatrists, and we're talking about anxiety disorders. Before we went on break, we were talking about panic disorder, but I'm told that we have a call, so we're going to take that call. Hey, Mark, is it you?
Hi. Yes, good afternoon, Barbara. Good afternoon, Dr. Lisa and Dr. Nicholas.
Hello, how are you?
I just had a general question to ask you. Do you ever find that with some of these issues that it's vitamin deficiencies at all? That it could be related to vitamin deficiencies and general nutrition?
The research is probably a little mixed on that as with regards to anxiety. I mean, having a good, well-balanced nutritional diet is important, but there's not a specific vitamin or a specific supplement that's been associated directly with anxiety disorders. A good question.
Or do you find any deficiencies, you know, with some of these at all, vitamin deficiencies at all?
Not really.
Not particularly with anxiety. I would say more depression we do, and that would be a screen that even lab work-wise that we would do, but typically not with anxiety. More medically related issues, but not so much
right,
the vitamin deficiencies.
Right, that's what I was asking. Yeah, more like that.
Yeah, exactly. For medical related issues, having overactive thyroid, so having hyperthyroidism has been associated with anxiety disorders. Someone that has migraines has been associated with what we call kind of comorbid medical disorders that may or may not be the cause of what's going on, but they've definitely been correlated. Sometimes we'll have what's called a medically induced anxiety disorder. So someone that has maybe COP or asthma and they need breathing treatments that have epinephrine or steroids in them, that we can see that anxiety type symptoms can increase over time after they've had those treatments.
People that have, you know, right. Diabetes and their sugars are out of control, that can also induce some anxiety and irritability and some mood changes too.
What about B12 deficiencies, vitamin D?
So vitamin D and vitamin B12 have been associated with depression and an increased incidence of depressive disorders, but not with anxiety.
Right. Okay. Right.
Well, thank you, Mark,
right.
so much for that question.
Much.
Have a nice weekend,
Take
Mark.
Care.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You too.
So that's a great question. I mean, I guess a lot of people would be like, I'm going to stock up on B12 like
right.
today.
Right, he's going out.
I'm going out this weekend. I want to be in a good mood. B12, here right. I come. So, you know, that is a great question. And a lot of times people forget that our body is like a functioning, it's a machine. It's a beautiful machine. Every part has a role that it plays. And when something's out of whack, mm-hmm. you know, it affects the rest of your body. Mm-hmm. So it's all connected. And so, you know, I can see where one thing can lead to the next and the next and the next. And if you don't have a good handle on how your body is behaving, you might go through, you know, situations where you do need to see someone about it. So we were talking about panic disorders before, and someone had also asked about obsessive compulsive, and does it get worse with age? And does that even, you know, is there something that may be environmental that's going on that may push them over the edge?
Do you want to talk about panic first or OCD? I'll leave it with you.
You can do the OCD.
Okay. So OCD, so the letters stand for obsessive compulsive disorder. And a lot of people say, oh, it's just my OCD acting up, right? A lot of people.
I say that.
Everyone's
got a touch of it, right?
Everyone's got a little touch of the OCD. But it does actually have criteria to it. And we do see the average age of onset is about 19, but we see it as young as 14. I've treated patients as young as 8 or 9 years old with really bad kind of OCD. So there's two components to it. So the obsessive part, we think of that more of the thoughts that you have. So they're intrusive thoughts, they're urges that you have, they're kind of this impulsive kind of feeling to do something. So a lot of times with OCD, people may be worried about cleanliness, like this is just not clean enough. I need to feel like I need to go wash my hands. I feel like I need to wipe off the counter 15 times before I can do something else. What distinguishes an obsessive thought between just something I'm kind of worried about is that the person doesn't like the way that feels. It's an unwanted thought. They really don't like the way that, like, we all kind of want to be clean for the most part, but when it starts to be more than that, when it's like, I don't even like to continue to have this kind of thought. That
intrusive.
Yeah, intrusive is a good word to use. The other part is the compulsion part. So that's actually the doing and the behavior part. So, for example, if you're worried about cleanliness or germs and you feel like you needed to go wash your hands, I'm going to go wash my hands once, twice, 15, 20 kind of times in a row. There's this concept of repetition compulsion that we see with OCD. And so it's this idea, I have to keep doing it until it feels better. Mm-hmm. And that's oftentimes how we'll make the distinction too, is this really OCD? Like, I have to just continue to do it. Another example is I have to turn the light switch on 15, 20 times, or you'll talk to patients and they'll say, well, how do you know when you need to stop? And they'll say, I don't know, it just feels better. And then, well, how long do you need to do that for? Well, if it's you're doing that more than an hour out of the day, then that's when you start to worry about it. But a lot of us can be kind of obsessive, compulsive, and just kind of things we do are kind of just, I don't know, neurotic tendencies. We just mm-hmm. like to have things a certain way or a certain order.
Number, so lined up a specific
right, which
way.
Once again might not
don't
affect
my
your function.
Stuff.
Exactly. Which right. once again goes back to the functioning. So you might function that way. It's right. You're organized, you're doing your thing, but then when it kind of crosses that fine line again is when, okay, well, I'm not getting anything done at work because I'm constantly organizing my papers and I'm not getting my work done, or I can't even leave my office because I'm shutting the light off 10, 15 times, you know, so yep. that's when it starts to become, okay, this is a problem.
Or other family members start to notice right. and say, hey, did you know this? You did that? And they're like, oh no, I just do that. That's just my habits and my routines. You're like, no, really, that's like not a normal kind of thing that we should kind of go through and experience. So, you know, OCD, if it's not treated, it can get worse over time because you're constantly doing the activities, you're constantly having the thoughts in your head of, I need to do this to be able to feel better, to feel more calm, and to make that anxiety feeling go away. And without the interventions and the treatments, it can spiral out of control. There's a, you know, in really severe cases of OCD, you can get what's called catatonic, where you just sit there and don't do anything. You kind of just stare off and you don't even look like you're present with what's going on. Or the obsessions are so bad, your thoughts are just circling and circling and circling. So over time, yeah, not treated, OCD can be pretty significant.
And it can wax and wane too. You know, so some people will come in and say that they've been checkers for a long time. So they're constantly checking. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple months later, they're like, I'm not doing that so much anymore, but I'm washing my hands, you know, this amount of times a day. So it can, the compulsive behavior and the obsession tendencies can change. And then family, you know, adult and child family, I mean, they can maintain the symptoms. So they, you know, I mean, because you want to make that person comfortable when they're so uncomfortable. So they might say, okay, well, I'm going to make sure that you have enough soap to wash your hands 10 times and kind of enable the behavior, not in a bad way, you know, because you're wanting to help, but at the same time, it can be detrimental in the long run because you're kind of feeding into what they're struggling with, you know. So therapy, you know, is kind of a key in there. But you know, as a family unit, you can kind of make things a little bit worse, not meaning to, unfortunately.
So, but in terms of, like, let's say now you have this individual that is an obsessive compulsive diagnosis such, but as they're getting older, you know, do you find that, is it possible for it to get worse? Or could it be just the enabling factor of the family just trying to keep that person happy?
Yes, there can be that. Some of it can be an environment. Sometimes folks with OCD, they may change their environment and those symptoms will go down, or they'll change the environment and it'll actually get worse. For example, I had a patient years ago, he worked in the correctional facility and his obsessive compulsive trait was checking locks. So you can imagine.
Well, they have to do that
all day long. Yeah. Yes. So in an environment, he did really poorly with what his job. So he was able to change jobs and change environment and actually got better instead of getting worse. So some of it's an environmental change. There's a lot of factors involved mm-hmm. with it.
Okay. So, you know, before we went on break, we were talking about panic. And so, you know, I want to make sure that for those that were listening, that were intently waiting for us to finish that thought, that we revisit that, what you were talking about, panic, Elisa.
Right. And I think, panic is similar kind of with the generalized anxiety in that people are often saying, I'm having a panic attack, where really it's not so much a panic attack, you know. So there's certain criteria that, you know, that you have to meet to actually be diagnosed with panic disorder. People get anxious, you feel your heart racing, you get kind of that flight or fight, what we call, or like adrenaline rush, but that's not necessarily a panic attack. So a panic attack would be, you know, when it can either be triggered, so you can have like be in a situation where it's very anxiety producing and then the physical sensations happen, or you could be watching TV, watching your favorite show, calm, cool as a cucumber, and next thing you know, it starts happening. And I think those are probably the most scariest for people, because then it leads down the line of like, what's going on with my body? Am I having a heart attack? And then that kind of compounds on itself. Typically people that have panic attacks will get, you know, it'll be a really quick onset, and they'll have, you know, palpitations, so their heart's beating irregularly, they'll feel like they're sweating, they'll get
dizzy,
shortness of breath. They'll, you know, feel like they're almost like a derealization. So feeling like they're almost like out of their environment. Like, mm-hmm. Where am I? Depersonalization. So like, am I even in my own skin? And it's very scary. And a lot of people go to the emergency room because they think that they're having a heart attack. You know, they have this like impending doom of like, I'm going to die. This is it. And then you can imagine that doesn't help the panic attack. So it's very hard for people to calm down from this physical sensation that they're having. And then a lot of times, which kind of classifies it more as a disorder, is that it's that kind of like, when is it going to happen again? So, you know, you calm down usually within, you know, 5-10 minutes. And then it's like, well, I don't know when it's going to happen. So then you have kind of that like inner episode anxiety, mm-hmm. you know, about, well, I can't go to that particular place because that's where I had that panic attack. So then you start the avoidance, you know, that goes along with it. And that's where it starts affecting people in their functioning.
I know someone who is going through her life change. Mm. And so she is experiencing what she believes are panic attacks because, you know, she almost feels like she has lost complete control of her body. And so, you know, she's been to the emergency room a couple of times because she's like, at first she thought she was having a heart attack. And it turns out it was a panic attack. But then, you know, she's like, it's, you know, it's the life change and it's like really messing with my head. And, you know, I get emotional. And so could that be connected? The the life change?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hormonally, it's a disaster. You know, I mean, it's hard, you know, because even people that have, you know, that are getting their periods, so younger people that have, you know, the kind of that, what we call like a premenstrual dysphoria, but you can get a lot of symptoms like a week before your period, you know, and so they can get panic, they can get irritable, they can get more depressed. Same with perimenopausal or when you're going through the bigger change, you know, it absolutely can affect you to get more anxious and to have those panic attacks. And then it's hard because you go to the emergency room thinking something's wrong. And of course, you don't want to have a heart attack. That's the worst case scenario. You'd rather probably have panic, but then it's that anxiety about, well, I just want something, someone to diagnose me to say this is what it is so they can fix it and then I'm good, you know, and it won't happen anymore. But absolutely, hormonal changes can cause it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a little break. When we get back, I think we're going to talk about some of the treatments maybe that you can seek if you're going through some of these things. You're listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Orange and Rockland wants everyone to know what to do if they smell gas. Here are some ways to detect a natural gas leak at home or in a public place. Be suspicious of a rotten egg smell or a whistling or hissing sound. If you do smell gas, leave the area immediately. Never light a match, use your cell phone, or turn on the lights. When you're safe, call 911 or ONR's Gas Emergency Hotline at 1-800-533-LEAK. Visit oru.com/gassafety for more tips. Orange and Rockland, everything matters.
The Computer Guy will build it, install it, maintain it, upgrade it, and recycle all your outdated computer components. Let the top professionals with the hometown attitude take care of your technology needs. The Computer Guy, known for their integrity, customer service, and vast knowledge, will customize to your needs. Now with two locations, 14 West Street in Warwick and 22 Meadow Road in Florida. Call 877-889-8055. TheComputerGuy.pro.
You are planning the perfect party or event. Now you'll need the perfect live band, the Armonia Band. The Armonia Band plays for any size and type of event, party, or festival. Whether classic rock, country, Motown, or pop, the Armonia Band has you covered and will customize to fit your budget and your event. The Armonia Band plays well-known favorites as well as originals. Something for everyone. To make your party or event the most fun, exciting, and the most memorable, visit thearmoniaband.com.
The Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan connects people who care with causes that matter. The Community Foundation facilitates and manages endowment funds that grow and benefit our communities. The Community Foundation supports numerous organizations while building an endowment that serves as a continual source of community capital. The Community Foundation connects people who care with causes that matter, and they serve people of all means. To make a difference, visit cfosny.org.
This is Zach Crux, sports director for WTBQ. Tune in every weekday morning to the Frank Truatt Morning Show to get the latest news, scores, and info about your favorite teams and players. That's every Monday through Friday on the Frank Truatt Morning Show, right here on WTBQ. WTBQ.
We're back, everyone. Thank you for staying with us here on Orange County Chamber Business Wise, powered by WTBQ. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, and I've been hanging out with Drs. Lisa Batson and Nicholas Batson. They're psychiatrists for Crystal Run Healthcare, and we've been covering anxiety disorders. So much information that's out there, and a lot of times people self-diagnose, they over-diagnose, and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of drama associated to it. We covered, obsessive compulsive and generalized anxiety, and we touched on panic disorder. And before we went on break, I was mentioning, you know, how, you know, the hormonal changes, life changes on women, but I also want to make sure that those that are listening, that we are an equal opportunity radio station here. So, you know, I know that men, we want to give you some of our disorders. You can go ahead and tell us some of the things that the men go through, because it's not just a female thing.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was kind of thinking some of the statistics, and women, it's reported that women are twice as likely. That just may be because women report those symptoms. You know, at males, we're, you know, as a culture, we're kind of designed and told you have to be strong and not show weakness. And anxiety can appear as weakness for some people. And I think the idea of having a heart attack, it kind of plays the same for men and women. So panic disorder in men can present oftentimes the same way. The other thing sometimes we see maybe in men and boys and adolescent males is that it's more of somatic symptoms. So stomach aches, headaches, muscle tension. And it's not so much of the I feel like my brain is freaking out and I'm worried about stuff, it's like my body just feels weird and strange. Mm-hmm. And that's oftentimes, I think as males, we probably lack a lot of vocabulary to describe mm-hmm. ourselves really well. Mm-hmm. But it's that instead of saying I'm freaking out about this, I can tell you how my body feels because I know how that feels and this just doesn't feel right. I think just sometimes just the word of I feel weird and my body feels strange, for me, that's a clue to say I'm going to have to ask somebody more about their anxiety.
It's funny that you say that. I have two boys. And so I have a 14-year-old, and of course, as you know, there's
lots of hormones,
puberty going on, and holy moly, and I say to myself, I am so glad you're not a girl, because I'm thinking it would be overly, but there has been moments when he has said, my stomach's not feeling right or whatever, but when we get to talking and we get down to the bottom of it, it's, yes, I have this bio test, and it's just like, and then I got homework on top of it, and it turns out that a lot of times the symptoms that he's experiencing mm-hmm. is just the pressure from the work that he's got from school, and sometimes I find that he needs like a mental health day or he needs like mm-hmm. a break. Right. So I say, let's go for a ride. Let's go for a walk. Let's talk about it. And I find that a lot of times he gets better once we've talked it out mm-hmm. and I've given him, some kind of relief on, okay, well, we'll move that. We'll get a better organization on how we schedule this out for mm-hmm. you so that you don't feel you have to do all that work all at once. So I see what you're saying. Yeah. And now that you say it, it just light bulb just went out, mm-hmm. went on. I mean, for me, that was just the way I handled my son.
Right.
But I think that a lot of times we do that as parents and we don't realize right. that we're walking them through what could potentially have been, like some anxiety that they were going through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great that we were able to kind of touch on that. Yeah. I know there are treatments out there, and in a world where we're very pill heavy, a lot of times you watch these commercials and you say to yourself, yeah, I'm going through that, but those symptoms afterwards,
I'd rather be alive or dead.
Yeah. Those side effects, I don't know about that. Right. So what are some of the treatments that you find that are, that you try to prescribe for your people, for your patients?
I think first off, I really like what you're talking about. It's just supporting your family member through that. Just helping them figure out what is unique to them. Because when we're figuring out how to treat somebody or what therapy or what treatment recommendation, we make it tailored to what your needs are and where you want to go with your treatment and how severe your symptoms are. With anxiety disorders, like all of the research says, cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, is one of the best therapies that's out there. There's a lot of different therapies. Just kind of briefly how CBT works. So CBT, the C is for cognitive, so it's kind of how we think about things. So those, like we were talking about, intrusive thoughts or catastrophizing that we were talking about earlier. What we try to do with the cognitive part is make that connection between I get this thought that things are really bad, or I amplify something or magnify how bad the situation really may be, and how that leads to anxiety. And so by helping, working with the patient, helping them identify that connection, that's one of the first parts, is just kind of realizing, hey, maybe I need to help change my thoughts a little bit, or maybe I need to decrease the intensity level of those thoughts that I have. The next part, the B, is the behavioral part. So doing something different. So for example, for like OCD, say someone is flipping the light switch on, 8 times. We'll say, okay, well, you can still do it, but let's just do it 3 times and see how that makes you feel. And so that kind of gradual decrease, or behavioral interventions are really nice. It's like, maybe you just need to get up and leave the environment that you're in. Just get up, take a break, walk around, take a 5-minute break. And sometimes it's just helping patients kind of understand, like, it's okay to do those kind of things. We're giving you permission to go take care of your anxiety. And so that's part of that CBT. One of the other things that's helpful for anxiety disorders can be exposure therapy. I think of like, say you had a phobia of a snake. Let's say you're a phobia of a snake.
The worst,
right? I said that because Lisa hates snakes. So we're working on our own exposure therapy here. This is part of our therapy that we're doing. I wouldn't take her to the zoo, right, where like the rattlesnakes are, and say, here, just hold this with both hands. We'll see how you do. Like, that's never going to happen. And so exposure therapy builds up on gradually. So the first thing we may ask you to do is just think about a snake in your brain. Just think about it in your mind. And then we'd show you pictures. And then say, let's go watch a YouTube video. And then let's have you go to just a pet store and just like look at them from a really far, far off distance. And so we gradually kind of expose you to what's going on. So over time, it's not that big of a deal. It just mm-hmm. kind of is what it is.
It's kind of one of those, oh, that wasn't so bad after all.
Right.
I can manage this, and I won't go into a straight, onset sweat, full body sweat attack, right, because mm-hmm. I think this thing is going to murder me right now.
Exactly.
So, you know, as far as that kind of treatment, you know, a lot of times people go, I don't want to go through that where you're going to make me hold that spider.
Right.
Right. Well, do you want to get better, or do you right. want to stay where you are? There's that motivation and ambivalence there, right?
And, you know, I mean, talk a little bit about medicine since we're, you know, kind of in this. Medicines can be helpful, but it's really the therapy piece that really has the kind of more longer term impact. Mm-hmm. You know, are we kind of treating your symptoms now, which is fine. Some people kind of want medicine, just kind of get me through what's going on.
And sometimes people do need medicine to even engage in therapy. Right. You know, when their anxiety is so significant, telling somebody that's panicking literally every single time they even look at us, they might need something to tame them down to be able to even do the gradual exposure, or to even kind of tame their brain a little bit to be able to kind of say, okay, this is a distorted thought. What can I do to change it? You know, so that's, you know, kind of a component. But I always say, like, you know, we're psychiatrists, but I don't like prescribing medication if yeah. I don't have to. You know, I think that you know, I mean, behaviorally, if you can change your behavior and learn how to change your thoughts, it's going to take you so much farther than a pill that you might stop in, you know, a couple of months, you know, because then you're back in the same spot with no coping strategies at all.
So let me ask you a question now that you mentioned it, because there is a difference between psychology and psychiatry. Mm-hmm. So, and the difference is the ability to prescribe medication.
So as a psychiatrist, we do undergraduate college, medical school, residency program, and then if you want to specialize even further, a fellowship. A psychologist, you know, still does undergrad college, but they will typically do a master's program or even a doctorate level psychology program. The big distinction, everybody always says, well, a psychiatrist prescribes and a psychologist kind of helps just with psychotherapy. But as a psychiatrist, we have extensive training in psychotherapy, the medical biology of patients, and how to understand, you know, the full, you know, brain-body kind of interaction.
So I think we incorporate a lot just through our training too, a lot of therapy in with the medication management that we do, which is nice. It makes the job worth it.
It gives you a lot of tools, a lot of options.
It does.
And you can talk with it.
You can actually get people better, yeah. You know.
So, and here's another thing that I wanted to ask you, and we kind of touched on it in the very beginning. It's about you as doctors taking on, you know, the anxieties of other people and having them help maneuver through it. And then you yourselves having to decompress. So you actually, do you like talk to each other about, you know, cleansing your palate before you go on for like another session of maybe a really, someone is really deeply disturbed?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you just kind of have to close the door to your office and be like, do you know what that person just said to me? You know, we're normal people just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. We just had a lot of school. I think that's what makes us different than other people. But yeah, I mean, you know, taking that little break, I like to go walk around in the parking lot. So if I'm at work and everybody sees me walking in the parking lot, I'm probably feeling a little stressed out just to get away for a few minutes. So,
oh, we have another call. Okay, so your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Sandra, and I'm calling from Warwick.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
Well, my question, actually, I have a point of information for the psychiatrist. I'd like to know what training they had postgraduate, but I also would like to tell them that a psychologist is not a master's. There is no such thing as a master's degree psychologist in New York State. It's a PhD requirement. Anybody who sells forth as a psychologist in New York State without a doctoral level degree is fraudulent.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Each state has different credentialing. So yeah, New York definitely has higher standards compared to other states. So yeah.
Well, it's different standards. You can be a psychotherapist, but you cannot be a psychologist. You hold yourself forth as a psychologist without a doctoral degree and state licensing, you can be prosecuted for fraud.
Okay. Yep. Oh, point taken. And what was your question before?
The other question is, I don't, in my opinion, therapy in New York State, of course, it can be done by psychiatrists, by some.
We're losing the call. We ran out of time anyway for the show, unfortunately, guys. But I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me on Friday. We did cover where you guys, you know, your background at the beginning of the show. So we'll be posting that on Facebook so that you can listen to that. I want to thank you once again for hanging out with us here on Orange County Chamber Business West. I hope it was fun.
Yes,
it was.
Thank you for having us.
Everybody, have a nice weekend so much. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on Orange County Chamber Business West. And good luck to the doctor as that baby's coming. Have a nice weekend, everybody.